Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
We're going to talk now in studio and we're going to talk about the Sober Curious, which is a rising movement. It's Friday though, because many people would be heading out for drinks after work and getting ready to paint the town red for the weekend, but more and more people have decided to do it alcohol free. Now this morning we're going to take a look at the explosion, as I called it there, the Sober Curious phenomenon. I'm joined in studio by Olivia Farrell, who describes herself as an alcohol free mentor and presenter of the No More Booze podcast. She gave up alcohol herself in 2018. In our Cork studio is Amy Kiernan, founder of Drink Nolo, who gave up alcohol in 2022. And on the line as well is sports commentator Oisin Langan, who was probably one of the first to start this trend back in 2005. And finally, a TikToker, Sam Kelly, 26 years of age, who is sober since last year. I think Sam is in London this morning. Good morning to all. Let us go to Amy first, who is in studio. Why did you give up alcohol?
Good morning, Maura. Thanks for having me. Well, I started to become sober curious after I had my son, Oisin. So he's 5 now. And when he was born, I suffered a little bit from, you know, postpartum anxiety and, you know, didn't really realise or make the connection with alcohol. But I started to realise as he got older, moved into the toddler years, that it was becoming more difficult to kind of sustain my regular like alcohol habits. I would have a couple of glasses of wine in the evening. And then for me, the way that it kind of manifested was I would be waking up in the middle of the night, no matter how much, you know, wine I would drink, like even a glass or two with dinner, I'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and the anxiety would just be a killer. And so, you know, I started to kind of flirt with stopping drinking, and it really, you know, changed my peace of mind and kind of changed things for me mentally. And for a finish, I think I just said, you know, it's costing me too much. It's not giving me enough. And so, you know, in 2022, after a family holiday to Lanzarote, which was quite difficult because my son had a bit of challenge traveling, I decided to stop completely.
Yeah, it was just that you didn't want to live your life getting over a hangover, it sounds to me like.
Yeah, and the anxiety was just such a killer. And the way that it impacted my sleep, it just wasn't worth it. I mean, my sleep now is just glorious. And I'm just not willing to give that up for alcohol for like 20 minutes of a buzz. It's not worth it to me.
Yeah, it's interesting when you say it's not worth it for the 20 minutes buzz. Olivia Farrell is in studio here with me. You're a mentor, so you help people, but you also present the No More Booze podcast. And you decided to kick the booze in 2018. Why?
Yeah, so my story is similar to Amy's. So I would have drank for 24 years, sometimes lightly, sometimes heavily, sometimes moderately. But like that, when I had kids and even before that, it became very clear that again it was costing more than it was giving. So I'm a highly sensitive person, so it would cause a lot of regret and guilt and anxiety, and I would wake up dreading the day, you know. So I had a couple of bouts of stints of giving it up, 30-day stints in 2017, and then I was at a wedding in Nerka, a family wedding of my husband's. We went absolutely buck mad because it was
you kind of let loose, I suppose, like a lot of Irish people
absolutely
do at weddings.
And exactly. And weddings are actually a number one. A lot of people come to me actually after a wedding and going a bit mad at them. So, yeah, we went wild at that wedding, had a great time. And again, I woke up in the morning and the first thing to come into my mind was, I just can't do this anymore. And that's the common thing that people come to me with. It's the sentence I hear the most. I just can't do this anymore. So waking up literally in absolute bits and having, you know, intended to drink a certain amount, but exceeded that. And, you know, for me, again, it wasn't worth it. And yeah, I knocked it on the head then.
Did you feel you had a problem with drink?
The way I frame it is, it caused problems in my life, so therefore it was a problem. Yeah, so was I physically dependent on it? Absolutely not. Do I view myself as an alcoholic? Absolutely not. I didn't hit a rock bottom. My life is very functional. I have a gorgeous life, a fabulous husband, gorgeous kids. You know, I'm doing really well, always was. It didn't look like there was a problem on the outside, but internally it was really causing me a lot of stress and a lot of self-loathing and all those kind of things. And the freedom I've experienced since giving it up has been absolutely mind-boggling.
It's interesting when you say freedom, because not so many years ago people would have looked at alcohol as a way to freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's and the removing of it is the ultimate gate to freedom. It has been for me anyway, and a huge amount of the people that I work with as well. Mm. You know, it. I think this current wave of sober curiosity is really helpful, because, you know, a lot of people aren't at peace with their relationship with alcohol. They do experience that shame, the guilt, the anxiety, all those kind of things. And I think if you kind of weigh up, as Amy was saying, the costs versus the benefits, and then take a little break, you know, I always advocate that people take a 100-day break. 100 days from today is the 27th of October. If you feel like it's costing more than, it's taken away more than it's given, why not try it?
Okay. Oisín is on the line with us, sports commentator. You kicked the booze back in 2005. You were one of the first to kind of start this trend in a way.
I don't know about that, but I just felt at the time that it wasn't doing me any great harm, but it certainly wasn't doing me any good. Typical of Irish people, we completely underplay a problem, and of course your contributors are right when they call it anxiety. We would of course generally have called it the fear, but that's exactly what it is. I used to get the fear horrendously. Now, I never did anything overly wrong or anything like that, but just that feeling was horrific. So I didn't like that feeling. I didn't want that feeling. Probably was a little bit unhealthy, so thought, well, getting rid of alcohol out of my routine would help that. And I just felt that while it wasn't causing any major problems, I felt it could. So why not cut that off at the pass? Why not cut it out before it became a problem? And before you became maybe, I don't know, dependent, if that's the right or wrong word, or it became kind of part of who you were, part of what you did. So I just said, well, because of all that, I wanted to get rid of it. And I also, and I still obviously work in a job where you kind of require a lot of energy at times when other people are off. Like when, like at the weekend, that's kind of when you're trying to hit your peak for commentaries and presentation and stuff like that. And you just, whatever about when you're young, now I couldn't do that, I think, if I still drank. And even in my early 20s when I gave it up, I was 24 when I gave up, I thought there was times I was struggling for the energy required for the job. Mm. And I thought, well, I can get rid of alcohol.
Right.
I don't have to drink alcohol. I'm lucky in a sense that I'd be quite social anyway, that I can go to the pub without ever thinking, God, I'd love a pint. I'm lucky that in that 19 years there's been, you know, like everyone, there's ups and downs, but I've never once thought to myself, I'm having a pint,
or
I'm having whatever, you know. So,
has
it been the silver bullet? No. Has it been a very positive and good thing? I would say yes, more than likely.
Okay. Let's go to Sam Kelly. Sam, you're 26, you're a TikToker, and a lot of people your age shun the booze. You're in the gym, you're fit, you see another way, whereas older people have grown up with drink in this country. Tell us about your story, Sam.
So I suppose I am sober a year now, and I suppose why I became sober, or why I was curious about being sober, was, you know, I'd heard a lot about it from kind of, as you were saying, you know, like the older generation, but I was, to be honest, I was just going out a little too much. I was kind of taking it too far, and it was never like a quiet drink. It could never just be like one drink. And I remember one day, it was a Sunday, and I was just absolutely wrecked. I was so hungover. I was crippled with fear. And my dad came into me and he was like, what are you doing? You know, and it was just that moment when my dad said it to me. I was like, oh, do you know what? I just have to nip this in the bud, because, you know, like Oisín said, I could kind of see it going somewhere that I didn't want it going. And I didn't want to be known as that person, like when they go out, it's like, oh, Jesus, Sam's going to be an awful liability again tonight. So I signed up for the 1 year no beer course and never looked back, to be honest.
And what did you do on that course? What does that entail?
It's, you know, it's not one of those kind of, it's not meetings or anything. It's like an email. You get emails every day of little prompts that kind of motivate you to stop or motivate you, you know, to focus your energy on different things and kind of spark your memory into remembering why you started the journey. Yeah. And if I'm honest, like I didn't follow it like every day, but even seeing the little notifications come up on the phone, I'd be like, all right, okay, yeah, kind of remembering why I'm doing it. But yeah, it focused your energy on kind of other things. So there was one where it was like, go for a 20-minute run a day. And that little things like that really, really helped. But I always say, like, if I wasn't financially invested in it, because I'd been sober curious for so long, and I'd said, oh, I'll do it next week. But, like, that was really what did it for me, was actually investing the money into it and thinking, right, well, if I don't commit to it now, I've just wasted however much.
Very interesting. All of you guys stay with me, and I'd love to hear what you guys listening this morning think of this. Are you sober curious, or do you overindulge in the booze? 51551, do get in touch with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
A message from the Road Safety Authority.
You're very welcome back. We're talking about this sober curious movement and how many people out there are deciding to just give up the booze, and people that are not dependent on booze, but that booze is impacting their lives and they've decided to go alcohol free. Text coming in. I think of all the concerts I didn't really enjoy because of prolonged drinking before and during the gig. Going alcohol free makes life so much better. I stopped drinking alcohol when I had to take over responsibility of caring for a person, and I needed to be able to sit into my car and drive at any time, day or night. I never felt better since. Completely detoxed and rejuvenated. Would definitely encourage others to take the step, says Kevin. I'm joined in studio by Olivia Farrell here, and in our Cork studios is Amy Kiernan. We also have been speaking to sports commentator Oisin Langan and TikToker Sam Kelly, all who have kicked the booze. I want to go back to our Cork studios to you, Amy. Now, Amy, you are the founder of drinknolo.ie, and as I said, you gave up the booze. And a lot of people are now kind of able to transition easier out in society, especially mm-hmm. when you're at weddings and different things, because we've got so many drinks that are alcohol free. Tell us about you and those drinks.
Yeah, so I think for me, in you know, becoming sober curious and finally giving up alcohol entirely, alternatives to alcohol were instrumental in really getting rid of, like, the FOMO that comes with going alcohol free. Because, you know, I think the challenge when we decide to become sober is that we all have this, you know, very deep psychological need to belong, right, and to feel a sense of connection. And I think that alcohol and the alcohol industry has done a great job of, like, you know, marketing alcohol as this social lubricant that you have to have when you're having a night out or a dinner. And so, you know, I think it can be very difficult to just stop that cold turkey and have nothing else. And so for me, in my journey, it was absolutely amazing to be able to sit down in the evening and have, like, that ritual of, you know, finishing work, sitting down, taking 20 minutes for myself and enjoying a lovely drink, you know, but that just didn't have alcohol in it. And when I went to kind of search for, you know, something a bit special, maybe a little bit nicer than, you know, the things you can find from a day-to-day perspective in the likes of Tesco or Lidl, I couldn't really find much. And so it prompted me to kind of look outside Ireland to see what was available in the UK and in Europe. And I discovered an entire world of these incredible, like, artisanal kind of startup companies that were creating these beautiful functional drinks that were completely alcohol-free, but that gave that sense of, you know, just relaxation, or you know, got rid of that feeling of FOMO for me.
And yeah, so you have so you did that, and you have the products now yourself, that mm-hmm. niche kind of area. But really, it was that you were searching yourself that led you to that. Yeah. Olivia, back to you here in studio. You're saying that when it comes to drink, people are either black and white, and you're now talking to people because you're a mentor, helping people give up the booze. You're talking to the people in the grey area.
Yeah. So people, I suppose historically we looked at alcohol, you know, you were either an alcoholic or you won't, or you weren't. So now this whole area of grey area drinking has come to the fore, and it's kind of called middle lane drinking as well. So people who can, you know, go off the booze for a couple of months, and then they can, you know, stop at any stage. But they make rules around drinking. They often drink more than they intended. They're not at peace with their relationship with alcohol. They worry about themselves. You know, they often Google, you know, have they a problem and all that kind of stuff. So there's so many people out there who are experiencing this with alcohol. And that was me. And, you know, when I gave up, I was like, oh, I cannot be alone in feeling like this. And I know now that I wasn't. You know, I know there's millions of people worldwide who feel like I do. And, you know, the online sober space on Instagram and, you know, with Quitlet and podcasts, it's absolutely exploding because people want a better experience of their lives. Mm. They don't want to wake up feeling fuzzy and dreading the day. They just want to get on with a nice, clear, happy, peaceful, serene life. And that's what alcohol-free living has given to me. Yeah.
We have a text in here from a 55-year-old female. She says, fabulous life. She's very physically fit, great career. She just drinks out of habit and loneliness in the house in the evenings. What do you say to somebody like that? What's the first step to try and, you know, she's not dependent, but yet she's kind of using it as a crutch.
Yeah. So, you know, what we always say, so keep the routine of maybe drinking something, but make sure it change the ingredients. So like Amy said, get something different, right? In that time where she feels triggered or the urge to have that drink, maybe do something different. One day a week, you could go to the cinema. The next day you could meet a friend. The next day you could go out for a walk. It's when we take alcohol out, we need to add in different things that support us, that scaffold us, that keep that mindset, the inspiration, the motivation going. We really need to write down on a piece of paper our whys, you know, so like, why am I doing it? What do I want to achieve from it? And all that kind of stuff.
But you know what's interesting? We have a text in here. What do you drink now when you go out? Do people like to look like they're drinking alcohol with the zero drinks, or do you just sit there drinking water? That is kind of interesting, because Amy said earlier on to us, we all want to fit in. We want to be part of some crowd. Mm-hmm. So do you think a lot of people are drinking zero drinks just to feel like they look the part, or is it a choice?
It's probably a bit of a crutch too, you know, and like, exactly what she said there. You know, you want to feel connected, you want to feel part of it, and you don't want to be on the outside looking in at everybody else. You know, and what I would recommend to people, absolutely use those zero zeros, and it's great to see them, you know, or use whatever you feel works for you. It's very much a personal decision.
Great. Sam, are you in London, Sam? Is that where you are?
I am indeed. Yeah, I'm in sunny London.
Very good. Are you living there now?
No. I'm just over for the week.
Drinking zero. But Sam, let's talk about you, a young guy, 26. You're out and about a lot. Did you ever have a wobble? I believe you may have had a wobble, did you, when it comes to kicking the booze?
A wobble?
A speed wobble in the summer. Did you kind of go back, or did you try and start drinking? Or did you start drinking again, or were you thinking about it?
Yeah, no, I didn't go back on it, but it's definitely harder in the summer. I think, you know, a lot of the social activities, when the sun comes out, everyone's kind of thinking, oh, let's go to the beer gardens, let's go into town. And I just found it a little tough at the start of the summer, because I felt a little left out. And although you can still go to the pub, and although you can still go out in town, there is an element of still feeling a little bit like an outsider, like you were just saying. And it's hard when you can kind of see all your friends having a beer and having a drink or whatever, and really enjoying themselves and not even thinking about it, if you get me. And I suppose the thought, I was in town one day on Drury Street, and like, same situation, everyone was there having a drink, having great crack, and I was in town having me zero zeros, but I was kind of thinking, why can't I enjoy it like you guys do? And I suppose it was the first time I'd be like, oh, will I just bin this off? And will I just, you know what I mean?
Do it the once, a bit of FOMO kind of in your brain there, going, everybody else having better crack than me. I can see that, though. I can see how you'd feel that, you know, especially if you're used to being out drinking. You know, that's the feeling you'd get. There's that little buzz you're missing. So how did you get over that?
To be honest, I just kind of had to, it sounds very hippy-dippy, just had to recenter myself and just think, why am I doing this? It's not worth, like you were saying earlier again, it's not worth that 20-minute kind of buzz or whatever, for, you know, the sake of a year's worth of work. And, you know, as I was saying earlier, the amount of money I spent on signing up to that course and all of the kind of benefits that you get from it, it's not worth, like, a little bit of FOMO is not going to kill you.
It's not going to kill you. Oisin, you started your journey in 2005. It was a much more difficult time to give up the booze then, because people probably wondered and asked the usual questions. Why are you not drinking? Is there something wrong with you? Are you on antibiotics? How did you deal with that back in the olden times now, 2005?
Oh, the olden times, they were great days, back in black and white. I used to get an awful lot of, what's wrong with you? Are you sick? Would you not have one or two? I had one friend who put his arm around me. He says, come on, you're such great crack. Have a few. And like, he really didn't mean any harm by that, because he thought, he in his mind, he probably didn't want me missing out. So it was difficult. You'd often feel a little bit like you were being a pain in a bar person's neck by asking for something that wasn't alcohol. I remember in a city centre pub, and I won't name the pub, obviously, asking for 3 pints and a coffee. And then he looked at me, he says, if you want a coffee,
go down the road to Bewley's. Now, he didn't use the term go down the road. He used the term that I won't use on radio at this time of the morning. And he was, by the way, he was deadly serious. Like, he wasn't being, you know, the crack. He wasn't trying to have fun here. I remember speaking to one inter-county player who didn't drink, who said he used to hold, if they were out on a night, he used to hold an empty beer bottle so people wouldn't say, what are you drinking? Or why are you not drinking?
You see, it's really interesting how times have changed. We're running out of time, unfortunately. I just want to say a big thanks to you, Oisin, also to Sam Kelly, to Olivia Farrell, who is here in studio, and to Amy Kiernan, who is in our Cork studio. Thank you very much. The Sober Curious movement is definitely ongoing, marching on. Really, 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 a lot of people just don't want to deal with the booze. But if you're listening to this and you might want to take the next step, if you feel like you might need more help with alcohol, go on to rt.ie/helplines. Let's take a break.
From the North Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.